MeUndies is a proud sponsor of Fantasy Focus Baseball. Now, I always thought that MeUndies was that really cool underwear brand with the fun, crazy prints, but it wasn't until I actually tried them on that I realized that, wow, they are seriously the most comfortable thing I have ever worn. They use a micromodal fabric, which is a full 3 times softer than regular cotton. I couldn't believe how soft these things were. It's the exact fabric you're going to want down there. They release multiple fun prints each month in matching socks and bralettes. My personal fave, the glow-in-the-dark jellyfish. You can even get a matching pair with your partner. 100% satisfaction guarantee. You're going to love these undies, but if you're not into it, just send them back for a full refund. MeUndies just launched a brand new membership. You can level up your top drawer with new undies each month. Members gain access to exclusive prints that no one else can get. They get special member pricing on every product MeUndies makes, and you can switch styles or skip any month you want. MeUndies has a great offer for Fantasy Focus Baseball listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/FFB. That's MeUndies.com/FFB. Much sunny day baseball. Right?
Hi-ho, hi-ho. Some lots of baseball to talk on the show.
Nice song.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, August 23rd, 2018. I am Eric, and he is Tristan, and we have much to cover on this fine sunny day with much sunny day baseball. Right?
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Lots of
baseball to talk on the show.
That's a nice song. Nola Scherzer, the top two pitchers in baseball in WAR, or maybe NL. Bumgarner DeGrom is an early game. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, these games probably started. But it's going to be an interesting day. A little later on, Cole Hamels. We'll get to that as well, who's given up like 2 runs and 4 starts for the Cubs.
And his opponents pitched pretty decently, too.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah. So, Anthony DeSclafani.
We'll take a look at the schedule for the next 4 days. We'll also talk about the many, many combo meals.
Oh, yeah. I'm so full now.
Might take up the whole show.
So filling. Jeez.
All right. We're laughing. There weren't any since the last show. Basically, people just stopped stealing bases. But they haven't stopped getting hurt. We'll get to that. Here's the buzz.
I'm not singing Hunger Strike. No, I can't.
No,
I can't do justice to that.
Don't do that.
No Pearl Jams for me. I don't think I could do well with that. No.
Well, what do you want to start with here? I mean, we could talk about Daniel Murphy being traded. That doesn't really change much. We could talk about Steven Strasburg.
Big.
Is it? Why is it big?
Well, because it's one of the big headliners of the week. And, you know, I mean, I don't think people reacted the way I expected when that trade first went down. And that is that, oh, man, he's going to the Cubs. Where is he going to play? There's a solution to this. He fits. The puzzle piece fits, and it fits well.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious he can only play second base.
He can play first.
Yeah, but not on that team he can't.
I know.
Although Rizzo could play second. Didn't he qualify at second base? So technically
not this
happen.
Year. He did last year.
So, I looked at this and I thought, well, it doesn't guarantee him everyday playing time. Obviously, the knee is probably still an issue. But he led off yesterday, which is great news. Now, it doesn't mean it happens again today. They're at Detroit. Why would you not DH him and have Zobrist at DH? That doesn't make any sense. But
certainly,
I think Murphy is what he is. I mean, he's hitting well since the break. Over his final 35 games in the Nationals, he hit .364. So he's back.
Mm-hmm.
He might be platooned, but the Cubs have the best lineup in the National League. It's a good team.
You know what I think he is?
What do you think he is?
He's Brian Dozier.
No,
it's the same situation. No, it's the same situation after the trade where, oh no, platoon. No, it's not a platoon. He's the regular. I think he's the regular. I mean, Addison Russell's on the DL, so it's very easy for me to go in this direction. Russell's been awful.
Russell is awful. They could play David Bote at second base when Brian comes back in a platoon. Don't be shocked if they do that. Bote's good.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that Bote actually fits really nicely on the matchups-oriented team, where you could throw him in there against the left-handed pitchers. You could throw Baez over to short, where you don't really lose much on defense. Murphy at second is a defensive downgrade, but you shuffle guys around with defensive replacements. I think Murphy gets at least 85% of the playing time.
All right, let's move on. Also, Matt Adams was dealt, and I didn't think much of it, but now that Marcell Ozuna's on the disabled list, I think Adams probably plays left field for the next week to 10 days against right-hand pitching, so maybe it does matter.
I was not expecting them to go in that direction, but you're right. That the timing of that does hint at it. Initially, I thought Adams goes to first base, plays sometimes against righties as a pinch hitter, like a little bit more used Justin Bour with the Phillies after that deal, and Carpenter shuffles around the infield. So the biggest takeaway was that it hurts the defense for the pitchers just a little bit. But you're right. Maybe Adams does have a place to play. Maybe this team is going matchups-oriented.
Do you stick with Ozuna in an ESPN standard 10-team league? It might just be a 10-day DL stint.
It might be, and maybe this rest period is what, quote, fixes him from what's been a very bad year. The other thing to look at is that maybe it is a longer than 10-day thing. Maybe it is that he needs the full winter's rest in order to get right. So I'm not going to go out of my way to keep him there. I think that in the majority of cases, I want to keep him around.
I bet he's back in 10 days. I can't believe they're going to sit him. They're in a pennant race. They can still win the wild card. They can still win the division.
He still has great power, but I mean, it's a disappointing year. Do you like, what level of trust do you have? Let's say he does come back in 10 days. What's your level of trust among outfielders for the remainder of that season?
Well, he is hitting .320 this month with 3 home runs, so he has been better. It's a shoulder problem. God forbid the Cardinals tell us it was a shoulder problem for the past 5 months, just like the Giants with Posey and other teams that don't tell the truth. But I think if he's on your roster now as your third or fourth outfielder, you got to keep him rostered.
Give me an outfield number. Give me a number. I'm going to throw somewhere between 25 and 30.
I was going to say exactly that, and that means you got to keep him.
Yeah, and in the 10-team game where you got the one DL3 bench, there might be a better guy out there, but that's where
it might be. I mean, and we can probably look at it real fast and give you some ideas here on outfielders that are being added in ESPN leagues and whether they're worth it or not. I mean, Kendrys Morales has homered in 4 consecutive games. If you can pick him up while he's high, he still gets to face a lot of Baltimore pitching. I mean, Harrison Bader of those Cardinals or Matt Adams. Those are both legit pickups right now.
Yeah. Bader's biggest criticism is that he bats in the 8-hole, and this goes back to the 2 years ago Addison Russell debate about does batting in the 8-hole really suppress the player's value? In Bader's case, because of the stolen bases with the pitcher batting behind him, you know what? It hasn't been an obstacle so far.
You know, I don't really see a whole lot to add among outfielders. I mean, Bader is one thing. The next two, the number 2 and 3 outfielders being added in the most ESPN leagues are Melky Cabrera and Greg Allen of Cleveland. Ugh.
Well, that's because, Greg Allen has played pretty well. Melky Cabrera has been on this unreal 4-day hot spell.
Oh, look at this. Justin Bour just went on the DL. More good news for the Phillies.
Geez.
When did he strain his oblique? When he homered last night? I don't know.
That's not good because, you know, remember, the Phillies have that Toronto series, and he was just a tailor-made
That's what he was here
inch.
For. That's his weekend.
Right. So, wow. Oh, that's not good.
I'm starting to say, I start to sing songs now when things happen.
Sing it. Sing it.
And I'm free falling. I mean, like, they're in trouble.
That is a quality choice. I'm
and
proud
look,
of you.
It's only 3 games, and the Rays are, you know, playing a team that never scores. So, I don't want them to be 5 games back in 2 weeks, 6 games back. Like, we count the Nationals out. They're really not out. All right, moving on now. So Buster Posey, Giants finally reveal what's been sapping his power all season long. And you know what? I felt better about the situation once we knew that. I mean, honestly, they couldn't have said something. So I assume that by the time our next show happens, Posey might just be shut down. Like, the Giants aren't making the playoffs. So I don't know why he hasn't already been shut down. So he can be healthy for next year. It's a long recovery from the hip surgery. It's like 4 months. Don't you want him ready for next year? So, you know, he's still the number 6 catcher for the season despite hitting only 5 home runs all year. Batting average, he's scoring runs, knocking in runs. He's doing fine. But I said for next year I would rank him as a top 5 catcher, but I'm not going to have any catcher in my top 100.
And I think both of those are quite fair. If he does get the surgery now, which, by the way, I'm ranking as if it's happening that the season's over. I took him out of my catcher rankings at that position.
Well, how could you do that? He's still playing.
I really think he's going to go for the surgery. I agree with you. I think that the Giants need to turn their focus towards next season. And, you know, that's maybe it's a mistake. I moved Kenley Jansen down about 200 spots, and that turned out to be incorrect. So,
all right, we'll get to him in a minute. With
this
the
time of year, though? This time of year, I understand being reactionary to things. I mean, like, in this case, you know, make sure.
Well, yeah, go on.
Make sure he actually does go on the deal, gets the surgery. It's made official. I think it's pretty likely, though. And if that's the case, it's good for next season. I think he's going to be like 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm surprised you took him out of your rankings because he's still playing today. Now, that could change today. Right. They could just, you know, say, that's it, we're done. But I won't take him out until the Giants actually take him out. What was I going to say here? All right, Steven Strasburg. We'll do closers in a minute. That was bad. His velocity was down. He kept, like you know how, like, he shakes his arm sometimes? Like, it just, he didn't look right to me. So I wrote in the blog today that I might even be surprised if he makes his next outing on Monday against the Phillies. And I don't think, now you're probably going to rank him really well in, what's it called, where you look ahead?
Forecaster.
And,
hey, don't you knock the forecaster computer.
I'm not,
it got Kendrys Morales, right?
I forgot the word. That's all.
I don't read into it. The computer always is going to like the guy with the electric stuff, and there's no formula that can account for the percentage of injury effect here.
Well,
so,
what does your gut tell you here? I mean, he's facing the Phillies and the Brewers next week if he stays on schedule. I would almost be surprised if he made the Phillies start. I mean, he clearly wasn't right yesterday. Clearly his shoulder's hurting him. But then who knows? The Nationals make so many bad decisions. Who knows what they're going to do with him?
My gut tells me, no, I'm not excited. My gut tells me I probably should project him for the two starts and assume he makes them. But your points are absolutely valid here. And remember, one of the things that I was arguing in favor of Strasburg for was that he rebounded from these injuries so nicely in the past. This year now, we've seen evidence in two starts that was not that, not close. You're right.
More DLs. Justin Upton with a finger laceration. They're saying that should be only 10 days. Didi Gregorius with the left heel did go in the DL, as we expected. I don't know if he comes back anytime soon, but we'll see.
They're talking optimistically, but I think that is longer than 10 days, without a doubt.
Before we get to the closers, so Greg Allen. He played well. August, .341 batting average. He's stealing bases. You're adding him? Is he a top 50 outfielder for you now in the rankings?
No, but that was one where when I was getting down into the next 50, I was wondering exactly where I wanted to put him. And ultimately, I put him towards the back just because I think his greatest contribution is just the stolen bases. I don't think the rest of the game, I think the rest of his game is lacking. I feel like this is getting on board with Malik Smith.
Who I like. Steals bases.
Right, right. And if you want to make him the equal in value to Malik Smith, I don't have a problem with that. For me, I need to see more evidence.
Willie Adames of Tampa. .349 in August. He can steal a base as well. I like him. I'd take Adames over Greg Allen. Adames versus Dansby Swanson. Who would you rather have this year, and who are you going to draft first next year? Two young shortstops.
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
Swanson homered twice on Tuesday, but he's showing very few signs of becoming a bankable fantasy asset. I mean, we shouldn't be comparing him to Alex Bregman anyway. They went 1-2 in the real-life draft. Swanson doesn't look like a 20-home run guy to me or a 20-steal guy. But I still think there's like a .280 batting average in him at some point and a number two spot in the lineup maybe, but like not in that lineup now with Acuña and Albies. But, Adames versus Swanson, either of them tempt you?
Yes, Adames actually made a pretty sizable jump in my rankings update. If you look at the two of them, their stat profiles currently are not all that far apart, so I feel like Adames probably warrants a little bit more optimism because he's shown more power sooner, and the speed has not really been any worse than what Swanson has provided. So that's kind of the direction I'd go right now. I could see those who prefer Swanson. Me, I'll take Adames.
I would take Adames. I think he can make an impact in the steals. Michael Kopech, that was a two-inning rain-shortened outing against the Twins.
Very inefficient.
Yeah, 52 pitches. It wasn't that he was throwing balls. He didn't walk anybody. It's just they were fouling everything off.
Yep.
Like they were catching up to 100 mile per hour heat.
Yep.
Which is a bad sign, actually.
Yep.
I don't know who Kopech is facing this week, and I'm going to look right now. But, like, what are you thinking here?
He is a Detroit matchup, is he not?
Yes, they're at Detroit
this
Detroit, weekend.
Yes,
in
on
Detroit.
Sunday. He will get Boston next at home on the 31st.
No way I start him there.
Right. So, Kopech, to your point about the foul balls there, I worry about a guy who's relying almost exclusively on his velocity. He's going to need to get a little bit more diverse with the pitches there. Two-inning sample doesn't tell us much of anything other than the inefficiency. I like him for the Detroit matchup a lot. I really, really don't like him for the Boston matchup.
All right. Closer time. Here's the carousel.
The closer carousel.
Now, you can't drop Kenley Jansen, but he's going to have three home runs in his two outings this week. Look, I know teams want to win, okay? There's no doubt. Nationals want to win. They might push Strasburg past what they can do. Dodgers want to win. They don't have another closer. they might be pushing Jansen, who has a heart issue of all things. I'm okay with benching these guys in fantasy, not cutting them. But, like, if I'm in a daily, I'm sitting Jansen for a little while. And I might sit Strasburg next week in the league I have him in. I mean, that was ugly. He didn't even go on a minor league rehab. Maybe the national stuff facing the Phillies was like a minor league rehab. I don't know. But I'm okay with benching pitchers, even big-name guys when they're struggling. I have Severino on a bench in one of my leagues, but I would never bench a hitter. You know, like I use the example in the blog that Mookie doesn't have a homer, an RBI, or a steal in the last, like, eight games. So what? I'm never sitting Mookie Betts. It would take a lot for me to sit a hitter. But Strasburg won four-inning outing off the DL, and I would consider sitting him next week. Jansen, I would consider sitting him. Like, do you agree with me, or is that just crazy?
I don't like that you're going in this direction of it's going to tell our listeners you're comping Betts and Strasburg, which is...
I'm saying the difference... A fantasy team can... Much harm can come to your fantasy roster if Kenley Jansen keeps playing like this.
Right.
And Strasburg pitches like this. But Mookie having a bad week means nothing to your fantasy roster.
Well, what's causing it? This is the thing. Like, the reason why the comp is dangerous is that this is not going deeper into the situations. Betts... There's nothing there that's really of great concern. It's not like he's got some sort of lingering injury.
Let me interrupt. Chris Bryant comes off the DL next week and goes 0 for 12.
That's exactly who I was thinking.
You're probably not sitting Chris Bryant.
Right.
But
no, well, yeah, why not?
Until he does something? I'm just saying there's a different level of trust when you get to August and September in fantasy baseball with the pitchers and the hitters. The pitchers can do a lot of damage to your ERA and WHIP, and the hitters can only damage your batting average, and even then, a gift single here and there can make it okay. So I don't consider generally sitting my hitters, but I'm Kenley Jansen, to me, I'm almost surprised. How can he not go on the DL? Like, I don't. This is weird.
Well, okay, so there's a lot here to chew on. Two of my most competitive teams in races right now, the pitching is fairly locked in and then hitting is not. So I think it is going to be situational here. I like that you brought up Bryant. Bryant's exactly the guy I was thinking of. When you throw him out there in his first game back, let's assume, for example, he comes back during the Philly series over Labor Day weekend, and he faces a non-Nola pitcher. It's a good enough matchup, you're probably starting Bryant right away. If he doesn't look good in Game 1, Game 2, then I think Bryant is every much of a daily game, to be clear, sit candidate, as you're giving the examples of Strasburg and Jansen. If you're in a situation where ERA and WHIP are up in the air, my labor team, I couldn't afford to take a chance on that. You're right, I'd sit them if it's a daily league, daily transactions. But in Jansen's case, the one defense I'm going to throw for him is, remember how at the beginning of the year we were questioning his skills, that he wasn't throwing high level velocity, maybe he was injured and the like, and he was great after that for 2.5 months. I think we just got to give him a little time after such a major issue, time off. He came back so much sooner. I think the September is still going to be pretty good.
You think the September will be good for Sir Anthony Dominguez?
I don't. I've got him on two teams, and I can't even trust him right now. I mean, I think he's got great stuff, but I think he's hit the adjustment period.
They're rookie. Know? He hadn't pitched in 6 days, so he shouldn't have been tired. That was scary what happened last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't walk people. I mean, two good hitters hit him.
Yep.
Juan Soto's really good, and Ryan Zimmerman, basically the ball found his bat, and he hit it over the right field fence, or hit it off the right field fence.
You think the command is off? Is that what's going on, or is it that he has to adapt to hitters figuring him out?
I think it's location.
Okay.
Velocity's fine. He hit 100. This was location. He hit Zimmerman's bat. So I'm giving Zimmerman credit too. Okay, but I'm just saying.
That's kudos to Zimmerman though. He usually doesn't hit the high velocity righties.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He found his bat.
Yep.
All right. So I said, like, I would rather roster Jose Leclerc, Sergio Romo, than Dominguez right now. Kirby Yates.
Yep.
I mean, if people want, you know, Trevor Hildenberger, I have to admit I'd rather roster than Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Ken Giles,
I'd rather, yeah. Even, you know, Houston's closer now.
Oh,
it's not Hector Rondon. We don't have to say his name, but he's clearly the closer now. So yeah. I you have to roster them all over Dominguez. All right, the Mets' last four saves, four different pitchers. I'm just avoiding the bullpen.
Yep.
White Sox, I'm avoiding the bullpen.
Yep.
I've decided I don't care if it's Xavier Cedeno. I don't care if it's Robert Gsellman. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm avoiding it. It's not like Baltimore. There's one guy, Michael Givens. Now, he barely gets a chance.
Right.
But AJ Minter's still Atlanta's guy. If you're looking for you don't think so?
No,
it's not Dan Winkler. It's not
Minter's,
the lefty.
Minter's not healthy right now. And we just saw what happened to another guy who wasn't healthy on a contending team, Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, what's your deal with that? I mean, he probably comes back in 10 days, right? David Robertson's hurt too with the shoulder.
Does this not feel like a flashback to almost literally, you know, 365 days ago, where Chapman finally hit a wall with an injury, went on the DL, and we weren't sure when he'd come back. We guessed it would be 10 days, and it was a little longer. And then yet, he gave us three straight great weeks to finish his season. It feels so much like that with Chapman, but this is the second time with this, the knee issue this year.
But with Robertson hurting, is it possible Dellin Betances gets 2 weeks of saves?
That's what I'm wondering, and I did throw a pickup on him in an AL-only league because I'm wondering, with him being so effective right now, is that direction the direction they go? The hesitation I have with Betances, other than the other candidates, is his history in the past 2 years of melting down in September, the workload getting to him.
You think that's a thing, a history?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Workload has worn him down a little bit over the past 2 years. At least that's my feeling watching him pitch.
All right, half the games on Thursday are day games, so they might have already started. David Price should pitch well. Edwin Encarnacion, by the way, I love this. People on Twitter complaining that he came back a day early and homered twice. And today they'll have everybody will have Edwin in their lineups and will probably go like 0-for-3 with a walk or something. But, you know, you can't trust these teams. They do what they want to do. Edwin, you know, yes. I didn't expect him back till Thursday, and he came back Wednesday, but that's life. Cole Hamels pitches today. Would you use Anthony DeSclafani of the Reds, who has pitched well? Now, we presume that Cole Hamels is going to pitch well. So, you know, by you talk a lot about, like, well, how is DeSclafani going to win this game? But I just want seven good innings. It's not like the Cubs score a ton of runs.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I agree with you in the vast majority of circumstances. In the daily games, the DFSs and the like, the win is much more relevant. If you're in a league where the win is a very big deal, you're in a tight race, then it comes a little bit into the equation. But I agree. I want seven strong innings. I think DeSclafani could give you them. The only problem I have with this is it is his worst matchup he's had since the beginning of July with the Cleveland game.
Friday on ESPN Plus at 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time, Matt Harvey, if he's still on the Rays. I heard he was claimed off waivers. He really should have been claimed by somebody. I mean, it's got to be a contending team. The Dodgers couldn't use Matt Harvey right now.
That's them. Maybe they're the ones who put the claim in.
Cubs? The Cubs cannot put Tyler Chatwood back in that rotation.
Look,
5 months of joking aside, you cannot put him back in the rotation. You certainly can't use him in fantasy.
Right.
But Harvey, if he goes to a contender, that'd be a little bit more interesting than pitching.
What if it was
Cincinnati?
The Phillies who put the claim in?
It wouldn't be. They have five starters. But, you know, maybe.
Oh, five is never enough.
Five's been enough for them. I mean, Zach Eflin got lit up the other day, but I can't believe they're going to replace him.
Oh, I don't know. I can't believe
they haven't acquired, like, they've already acquired, what, two lefties, loogies? But, like,
the Yankees are going to remind you that five is never enough.
Philly's kind of needed, like, a Fernando Rodney type.
They do, but I don't think there's any great shame in having a sixth starter who, for the time being, might have to throw two or three innings. The Lance Lynn scenario when he was picked up by the Yankees, I think those are wise. Bolster the bench.
I agree. Although I had him active in a league yesterday where I could have gone with a reliever instead.
Would Harvey be interesting if he did end up somewhere else? Would you add him?
Who, Harvey?
Yeah.
Probably not. He's just not as good as he used to be, and he's not that good.
Right.
That's the problem. I don't care what he used to be. He's just...
I think most scenarios elsewhere outside of Cincinnati would probably be a bit more favorable.
Oh, I would assume they are, unless he goes to Denver. All right, I'll name some pitchers. You tell me your interest level for the weekend. How about Derek Rodriguez coming off the DL for the Giants? Injured his hammy in the benches clearing incident. That's nice. Pitching against Texas.
Yeah.
At home, I think I would activate him.
Yeah, matchup's a little tougher than it was a month ago, but home game, AT&T, I lean towards a yes.
Reynaldo Lopez, you have no idea what you're going to get here. Six innings of two-run ball or two innings of six-run ball. He's at Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, getting hit by Kansas City. And, you know, frankly, he wasn't that great against Detroit before that. This matchup should be a high-grade one. But you know what? It's him. I lean towards no.
Miles Michaelis at Denver. Eesh. Not a hard thrower.
I can't believe we're criticizing Miles Michaelis.
We're not criticizing him. But
no, I know, but not using him, but it's Coors.
He's got to be a top 20 starter for the season. Let me just check this out. But
probably, yeah.
It's been a really good season for Miles. He's number 13 for the season, nestled between Greinke and Morton and Carrasco.
How's Ohtani matchup I hate, though.
I hate this. Ohtani is number 16 on the player rater for the season among starting pitchers, but he doesn't that's not a starting pitcher stats. That's his hitting stats too. So
I would say I can't believe that I said what if, and in this crazy scenario, his hitting performance this year
going to be better
exceeded
than
his pitching. This is not the way I was assuming it was going to happen.
What about Andrew Heaney at home against Houston on Friday night? I like Heaney, but I don't like the matchup.
Yeah, and my understanding with him too. Honestly, I have not seen any of his past three starts, but the numbers say he hasn't been quite as effective in the recent ones, so I'd lean towards no.
Saturday afternoon on ESPN Plus, Jay Happ at Baltimore. Got to use him there. That's the Orioles.
Happ's a yes across the board.
Yeah, I agree with that. Are you back on the Luis Castillo train at Wrigley Field against Jose Quintana, who's been terrible? I could make the case that I would use Castillo over Quintana now.
And I like both points here. You know, again, I'm not wild about the at-Cubs matchups in general, but I'm back on board with Castillo.
Gio Gonzalez, enough already. I don't care where he's pitching. Yep. He's at Citi Field against the Mets. Not a great offense, but Gio Gonzalez is just bad now.
Wait. The Mets aren't a good offense?
No.
Are you sure?
That's pretty safe to say.
They scored 40 runs in back-to-back games last week.
Come on.
I know. They have had a couple of guys who have been picking up the pace lately. And you know, in the case of Conforto and Nimmo, the matchup's not necessarily favorable. Gonzalez has been awful. I'm a no on him.
What about Aaron Sanchez coming off the DL for Toronto for Saturday? Apparently hurt his finger when a suitcase fell on it.
Yep.
He didn't reveal that until 2 months after the injury happened. Philly's not a great offense. And now their DH, Justin Bour, is not going to be available, which, man, that bothers me a little bit.
Yep.
I can make no case for Aaron Sanchez. Hey, what he did 2 years ago, good for him, but I don't see it coming back.
And I am a no way, no how on Sanchez for the additional reason that he's not – I mean, I think he is making the start. He'll throw the bullpen session today, Thursday, and I think he will be on a pitch count, very limited.
But another A. Sanchez, Anibal, at Miami on Saturday, I'm using him.
Yep.
And no on Steven Gonsalves against Oakland.
He was bad.
Three home
day,
runs
yeah.
at least.
Oh, Fires against him.
Yeah, Fires is great. I don't know why Fires still isn't rostered in 90% of leagues. I really don't.
Because he caught fire – oh, geez, I'm going to the pun. I didn't even mean to. Totally unintentional pun. Caught super hot streak at a time late in the year where I think some people have probably stopped paying enough attention to their pickups. And shame on you if you did that.
Michael Kopech on Sunday at Detroit. Five innings, one run, six strikeouts, hopefully zero walks.
And I'll take that. And that's a chasing day. So, yeah.
Pablo Lopez, who you had recommended earlier in the week as a two-star guy, pitching against Kevin Gausman, who looks really good for Atlanta. I was wrong there.
He does, yeah, and I anticipate him to remain pretty good. Lopez, I actually like, and the forecast likes this matchup less than the Yankee matchup. Pitched pretty effectively, hung in there, should hang in there again here, but I'm not wowed by it.
So Sunday Night Baseball, Yankees at Baltimore, Luis Severino, who I don't think was that great in his last outing, but you got to use him against Baltimore. You got to use him. I mean, like, I said earlier in the show I had benched him, but, like, for this outing, I would use him.
Yeah, I mean, bad Severino was that stretch he had in the games against, you know, Cleveland, Tampa, KC. The past three or four, when I watch him, he's effective enough to get by against the weaker offenses. This is one, so he's got to be in there for you.
We're also on the lookout for Mike Trout coming off a DL, right?
Yep.
They say he'll be back this weekend, but, man, if he has another setback with the wrist, don't they just shut him down for good?
That's what I would worry about. They are optimistic about the homestand. I think Trout wants to play. I think this is going to be like Miguel Cabrera a couple years ago where he pushed himself in the lineup if he's anywhere near full health. I'm not that worried, but – and the but is the big hook.
Today's Hash Browns are brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, Fantasy Focus Baseball listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Carabell. ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. Okay.
Sing us another tune.
Nah.
No?
Sing us a song. You're the piano man.
Sing,
I just find myself like in my head singing songs. Like, is that weird? Like,
no.
Like for situations. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've already forgotten what the one was 20 minutes ago on this show. But like somebody free else falling? Says, yeah, free falling Phillies. It's just weird. Just pops into my head without me thinking about it.
That happens to me all the time. Why do you think I sing on the show?
It's weird.
I'm so proud that you sung on the show and you picked a high quality song. That was awesome. Do it again.
Nope.
Not right now. But
well, now I'm
going
to start singing Steely Dan. Come back, Jack. Do it again. See? See, I'm not really singing. You sing. I mean, you're crazy. You're actually singing on this show.
You want to hear me say, so I'm free. Free falling.
Today might have been a show we needed the editorial watchdog.
I break all the rules on these shows.
All right, that's weird. Let's get to some questions here. Brett says, I play in a league that features quality starts over wins. Clay Buchholz and Matthew Boyd are both on the wire. Who's the right ad? Wow, I can't believe Clay Buchholz. Now, it's 13 starts. I think we have to start taking it seriously, don't you think?
Kind of.
I mean, it's a really good year, Ray. Whipping K-rate's fine. He's on a first-place team, or if they're not, they're a game out. I haven't looked today. I will not look at the standings today. But Clay Buchholz looks pretty legit right now. This looks like that year in Boston where he had, like, the ERA under 2. I can't explain why it's happening, or I wouldn't go near him next year. But I would actually recommend Clay Buchholz. I don't want to be that guy who waits too long. And I think we have enough information at this point on Clay Buchholz to say that this is relatively legit. Now, the ERA is 2.25. What's the FIP? Oh, it's a lot
like
higher.
It's
over a run higher. But it's still good.
It's a manageable 3.2, I think.
It's 3.44. There's BABIP craziness going on here a little bit, and the strand rate. So there's some luck involved here.
Yeah.
But then again, Arizona's bullpen with Hirano and Bradley setting up. I mean, that's a good bullpen. If you go 6+ innings, you're gonna probably feature a higher strand rate.
Right.
You disagree?
Buchholz is the type of player in fantasy who's maddening, because I remember that year you're talking about, and he fell off the table in terms of fantasy value practically overnight and without warning, and I know it's going to happen again. And look, I root for the guy. I like him. He was the type who threw the high ground ball rate, had very good control numbers. The control numbers are great this year. The ground ball rate's not all that elite. That bothers me. He has two advantages over Boyd. National League, that's a big one, and a slightly better ground ball rate. Boyd is very fly ball oriented. But I think Boyd's
good too.
Boyd doesn't. I mean, I don't like him today as much as I like Buchholz today. But
this
Boyd doesn't scare
quickly.
Me.
Boyd doesn't scare me like Buchholz does. But Buchholz has also won 6 of his last 7 starts because he's on a really good team.
Yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt's having a great year. It took a while.
You got to be ready with your finger on the button to cut him. Like
yes,
this,
one bad outing and he's gone. But I'm adding him. George, how are you treating Jose Quintana the rest of the way, starting him barring a tough matchup, or benching him in anything but a favorable? I think I'm benching him just in general. I've had enough of Jose Quintana, and I don't want to keep using him because of, you know, how consistent he was for, a 5-6-year span. He's just not good now. And his last outing was good enough, but it was only 5 innings. His last 2 outings have each been 5 innings. I don't know, man. He scares me. The home runs, walk rate's way up. What is it with Cubs pitchers this year in the walks?
Yeah, I know. With Quintana, by the way, the reason he was consistent, the reason I liked him, is that he was one of the top contenders, if not number one, to lead the league in first pitch strike rate, which means the command numbers are pretty locked in and safe and stable and aren't going to be very variable. And this year, it has dipped beneath 65%. And the problem with that is that it's bringing him close to the league average, which makes him ordinary.
I'm not dropping him, although we probably should consider it. He's not trying to find him on the player radar for the season. And it's not. He's number 92 among starting pitchers.
Right.
I mean, Brent Suter is ahead of him. Ugh.
The bar might be that of a top 40 starting pitcher, but these days that's matchup.
Yeah, that's matchup. Well, I mean, we just said he was pitching against somebody this weekend. And
somebody.
He's pitching against the Reds. That's a favorable matchup at home.
The Reds' offense this year without has been a little better than you think. Without Votto, it's worse, so that's why it's good now. But, you know, Suarez in there. Yeah, I guess the injuries have depleted it a bit. Yeah.
Scooter, unstoppable. Ryan writes, who are some inning eaters that I can add to help solidify my ratios as I try to protect my ERA whip leads in a row league? Now, that is dangerous, the way he phrased that.
Yes.
Trying to protect ERA whip. Are you the type of guy who goes to relief pitchers and use Mara Petit types to protect ERA whip, or do you just keep doing what you're doing with the starting pitchers? Because I find that half the time when you just take out the Freddy Peralta types, who can be great like he was yesterday and then awful the next game, I find when you try to manipulate or manage ERA whip that it goes awry.
Yes, it does more often than you think it does. It's very difficult to predict those two categories. I will say this, and I'll go ahead and tip my hand and Dave Schoenfeld's going to win the league in this one, the Office League. That's the one where I was talking about pitching is pretty locked in, and I shifted my strategy on the 9 pitching spots to go with 4 relief pitchers and 5 starters and try to maximize the number of starts I get out of those 5 starting pitching spots because I need saves and I need to protect the ERA and whip. So relief pitchers give me a little bit better odd. And then, of course, what happens? I trade Patrick Corbin for Aroldis Chapman 2 days before he leaves a game early. So great. It shows. This stuff does bounce back and forth. The thing that's dangerous about this question, innings eaters. What is an innings eater? Ricky Nolasco is an innings eater, a classic one over the past decade. An innings eater to protect your ERA and whip?
No.
You want relief pitchers. You want dominant relief pitchers. You want Josh Hader helping you.
Yeah, innings eaters don't exist anymore. I mean, there's certainly guys who pitch innings and give up stuff, but I don't mean that. Let me look here at the innings eaters since the All-Star break.
You should be going for the high. I'm going for the high strikeout rate relief pitchers who dominate the ERA and WHIP categories. If I'm protecting in this situation, if the point is that you need to get better in them by getting high volume starting pitchers, you want to answer it that way.
I guess. I mean, I'm looking at like innings leaders since the All-Star break, and
sure,
most of them are pitching pretty well. But like Kyle Gibson is right there. I don't think I want to add Kyle Gibson.
Right.
Walks are way up. Clay Buchholz is tied for 5th in innings since the break. I mean, is John Gray an innings eater? I don't look at him that way.
No. I think he's taken. I think Castillo, who we mentioned before, is probably widely available now.
Herman Marquez could be that guy.
Yeah.
Edwin Jackson is an innings eater now, but I don't want to pick up Edwin Jackson.
Yeah, he pitched poorly.
Zach Wheeler, I guess. I'm not adding Brett Anderson. The strikeouts are way too low. It's costing you too much in that category. I guess Tanner Roark is probably like a typical innings eater at this point. But to answer this guy's question, just add relief pitching. Now, Yusmer Petit can blow it up in one outing, but he still feels safer to me than Rourke or Alex Cobb or Kyle Gibson. Those are innings eaters.
So I'll throw you a couple of guys that might be widely available besides Castillo. Give me a yes or no. Shane Bieber.
Yes. Even pitched well against Boston. I did not have him active for that.
Right. And he has a much better matchup this weekend now. Eduardo Rodriguez, about a start away from returning to the Red Sox.
Yes.
I'm with you there. Joe Musgrove.
Yes.
With you there. Freddy Peralta.
See, that I sat him yesterday. I don't know with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's so inconsistent. I guess it depends on the matchup, but that was a good matchup against the Reds, and I didn't use him anyway. So, I don't know. Using him? I don't trust him.
I'm agreeing with you that I'm kind of wavering because of the heavy fastball.
He's the starting version of Sir Anthony. He's a rookie pitcher.
Okay.
Who is just inconsistent right now. Maybe he's tired. I don't know. Something's wrong. It's hard to trust guys like that.
Trevor Cahill.
I'm in. All in.
Agree with you on that. And the last one is Tyler Glasnow.
I'm all in there.
Agreed.
Starts today, right? A lot of strikeouts with a few walks.
Yeah.
Next up, me and Sarah Jane.
Oh, wait, it's Boston, though. Ooh.
Wait, no.
It's a Boston matchup, isn't it?
No.
That's right.
That's someone bad. I wrote about it.
Casey, you're right.
All right, the Genesis album. Me need a difference maker for the finish. Who you got? Brett Anderson, Luis Castillo, Jaime Barria, or Derek Holland? We've talked about Castillo today. It's pretty good second half of the season. Brett Anderson's keeping runs out of play, but he's not striking anybody out. I'd have to rank him 4th among this crew just because of the lack of strikeouts. Barria is really just a 5 2/3 inning guy now. He doesn't go deep in the games. And Derek Holland doesn't go deep either. Like, it's 5 inning outings. Throws a lot of pitches. I'd say Castillo is the difference maker. Now, I haven't looked at his schedule.
I'll get it for you.
But I think Luis Castillo is kind of what he was last year, although I don't think his velocity has gone up, right?
No, but it was still pretty high in the first place, because remember we were talking about 97, 98 miles per hour last year, and it was hovering 95, 96, which is still high velocity.
I mean, he comes off a win over San Francisco, gave up 5 to Arizona, not going all that deep into games himself.
So he's got the Saturday game, correct?
Castillo?
Yeah, I'll give you what he's got for the schedule, if so. Saturday game, yeah. So he will be looking at roughly every fifth game, will be at Cubs. He would be going at Cardinals. Mm. Then in September, he would be going at Pirates.
Like that.
Versus Dodgers.
Okay.
At Cubs. At Marlins. Yeah. And then he'd finish with Pirates at home.
That's pretty good. He could give you a sub-350 the rest of the way.
Yeah, there's a couple of matchups. The Dodgers and the Cubs ones are a little tricky. He could fall into a Brewers on the road matchup. He could fall into a Royals matchup, which would be good. So I agree. I think...
Ooh, is this this weekend is the with the player names on their backs, right?
Yep, yep.
With the different names, like they did on Sunday in that Little League game? Oh, yep. I love those. I love that.
I've warmed to that, and you know my hatred for names on the back of Yankee jerseys.
That's right. They put the nicknames. All right, are we done?
I can't believe you put Anderson at the back of this list.
It's no strikeouts. It's a K rate of like 4.5, isn't it?
It is, but he's been pitching pretty well, and there's Oakland magic going on. Well, I mean, Holland is hilarious, but...
Holland's pitching well. Holland's pitching as well as Anderson is. He's just not...
I'll
and he's getting
Anderson
strikeouts. Holland's getting strikeouts.
I'm going with the magic. I'm taking Anderson over Holland, though.
I mean, how much you... Like, we've already talked about Mike Fiers of Oakland. We're in. And I'm in on Cahill. But, like, Brett Anderson and Edwin Jackson, no, come on. I can't. I can't do that.
What if they've unlocked some sort of magic mystery code for Brett Anderson? I mean, you know, like they made Edwin Jackson a productive pitcher for a couple of days. I mean,
that's the issue. This can't last. You can't continue to have an ERA of 350 with this K rate.
And yet you were the guy who bought in each of those 2 years on Junior Guerra, and who was the other dude, the other Brewers guy who disappeared into nowhere?
Zach Davies?
No, it was a much worse guy than that. They were great in the second half. They were great for 12 starts. Guerra was awesome.
I don't think Junior Guerra's K rate was this bad that year he broke out.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's fair.
Talking of a 4.7 K9, man. That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like that at all. I'm not trying to hide from that. But who is that guy now?
I mean, I don't remember Junior Guerra's K rate being that low 2 years ago.
It was Taylor Youngman.
Oh, I don't ever remember being in on that. But, you know, I could have been.
But it was the classic juice the orange, you know.
All right, well, Tom's last question here. You generally rank based on skill in the early season, but in redraft leagues at this point, schedule looms large. How do your ranking philosophy change as the season concludes? That's a fair question.
Yep.
You've updated your rankings recently, so how do you answer it?
I am more reactionary now, which I think we get from listening to the show, because I mentioned the reactionary thing with Posey. I think that you need to be prepared for guys who are injured and out. Jeff Samardzija comes to mind. I mean, he might be back 10 days from now. I'm a pessimist. I need guys who are going to contribute now. I can't rely on a pitcher who's going to give you only September and is coming into September with injury questions. I just can't do it.
But how much do you look at this? I don't even look at the schedule for hitters, but I look at it for pitchers. So, like, we just went through Luis Castillo's schedule.
Right,
that seems favorable to me.
Right. I do, to a certain extent. I mentioned about the Yankee schedule facing a lot of weak opponents. So, if you're on the extreme ends, very favorable, very unfavorable, I'd lean towards it. And I know, and the worst thing is, I know there was another team I just looked at 2 days ago who had a really good hitting schedule. I'll see if I can dig it up.
There was an American League pitcher I was talking about. It gets like, or maybe it was Toronto is facing a lot of Baltimore.
Yes, Toronto was a very light schedule. That's right, yeah.
You know, Kendrys Morales can actually finish pretty strong this year.
Yep.
But I don't know if I would recommend Aaron Sanchez. I can't. It's not the same to me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not hating on the pitchers. It's just not the same to me. All right, the music has stopped, so we are done for today. And we will be back on Monday to wrap up the weekend and talk about all that is good in the final days of August. We're running out of time, right? 5 weeks left of the season, so it's crunch time.
Incredible.
Hard to believe it's gone so fast.
Beyond three quarters at this point.
National Sponge Cake Day. Isn't every day? I mean, come on. Every day should be.
When is National SpongeBob Day?
You just legitimately made me laugh. That's funny. I like that.
I try.
Thank you so much.
It's a good day.
All right, thanks to producer Anthony Calatayud and in absentia, editorial watchdog Leo Howe and researcher Kyle Staub. I think they're working on football because there's like 20 people working on football. But, you know, all we need is us, this small group, to get the baseball show done.
The differently shaped ball, it's a little bit larger. It takes some maintenance, dude. I mean, no, like it. Think of it. It's like, what, 6-7 times as large as baseballs. So, you know, there you go.
We have time for both sports, and hoops is coming up. That's all for today. Thank you so much. Please have an awesome weekend. Everything is awesome.
Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.